wonderful to be here today to worship God, and we are blessed to have a number of visitors with us. Thank you for coming to meet with us today, and we wish those that are on your trip to Canada a safe trip there, an enjoyable time. We'd like to invite you this morning now to open your Bible to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And in the opening verse, he says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." As we look into the background of the letter of Paul to Titus, we understand that Paul had assigned Titus to be working with the churches on the island of Crete in the Mediterranean Sea. And in that, he had some of the several congregations, it seems to indicate, had been established at this time, but they were in need of leadership, elders, and they were in need of spiritual maturity. And so Titus was given the responsibility by Paul to teach and help establish, further establish these churches. In chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you." In order for him to strengthen Titus in this work and encourage him in his task, Paul wrote this letter, and it was intended not only for Titus but for the congregations, so they could understand why Titus was doing the things that he was doing. When you look at chapter 1 of Titus, it is largely dealing with the appointment of elders, which was the number one priority that Paul talked with him about, to appoint those men, to set them in order, and the qualifications and the work that they were to be doing. But as we come to chapter 2 of Titus, his focus there changes to the people. And from the elders to the members of the churches, the saints, in other words. Chapter 2 is dealing with how to be a healthy church, how the church can be strong, how the church can be healthy, and dealing with some very specific commandments in the lives of the members here. Very straightforward, direct, practical, very practical instructions that Paul is laying down here to the brethren in these congregations, speaking through Titus in the work that he is going to be doing there with the church. And obviously, I think we all can understand that one of the concerns that the Lord has with his church is the health of the body of Christ. You know, we live in a time today that people are very concerned about their physical health, their physical bodies. People are very health conscious. They're wanting to take care of our health. And we can understand that the Lord is very concerned about this with his spiritual body, even more so than we are with the health of our bodies. The Lord is concerned with the spiritual health of his spiritual body, the church. And that's what really is behind this chapter. And Paul's purpose in writing here is to express that, how concerned the Lord is and how to deal with the health of the church. So in chapter 2 and in the book of Titus, one of the key words that Paul uses a lot is the word sound. And he refers to sound doctrine here in chapter 2 and verse 1. Speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. The word is the word that we get the word hygiene from in our language. And it refers to be of sound health. So Paul was concerned about this. And in the letters of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, this word is used 9 times. 5 of those are in the letter to Titus. And as he is speaking here, he says in chapter 1 and verse 9, in addressing the elders and their work that he is appointing them to do, that he says that they are to be holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convict those who contradict. And then a few verses later, he goes on to say to the elders, therefore rebuke them sharply, or to Titus as the evangelist, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Now in between, he talks about some who were teaching contrary to sound doctrine. That there were those there in the island of Crete, as he says, there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision whose mouths must be stopped, speaking things that are subverting households. He goes on to talk about that some there in the next couple of verses, but in verse 13, he comes back and he says, therefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Now, the connection between those two, there's a direct link, in other words, between sound doctrine and being sound in the faith, or sound living, or healthy living, healthy Christian living, and what makes up a healthy congregation and a healthy church. There's a direct connection between sound doctrine, healthy doctrine, and healthy living. And they cannot be separated. So the Lord's concern is that the church be healthy. He wants us to be healthy spiritually. And He wants the congregation to be healthy. So he emphasizes in this letter the importance of sound doctrine. Because by teaching sound doctrine is how there is going to be healthy living on the part of the people. And the antithesis of that is being implied in the background as to why he is emphasizing this. Because, as I mentioned in verse 10, he talks about that there was unsound doctrine being taught. And that the result of that is going to be unhealthy living. Whatever the teaching that the church is receiving is going to have a direct relationship to the kind of living that people are doing. Therefore, the importance of healthy, sound doctrine is directly tied to God's desire for the church to be healthy. We see that there is always a danger, in other words, of unsound teaching being introduced into the church and the effect that that is going to have upon the lives of the members. That we're going to be affected by that when unsound teaching is brought into the church. So he says, again, as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, sound in faith, in love, in patience. This is chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. It is incorrectly indicated there, but that's chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. As for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love and patience. So he addresses first the older men. Then he begins to address the older women, the younger women, the younger men, And then finally, he addresses Christians in the workplace, how we are to go out into the workplace and live a sound, healthy Christian life in our daily interaction with people there. But in all of this, the Lord's concern is that there will be sound doctrine that is being taught within the church. In chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8, he says, "In all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." The emphasis that he is making here then is important and essential in order for the church to be healthy. Now, sometimes there's a debate and discussion and thinking that it goes on in the minds of Christians today within the church as to, is doctrine really that important? And the thinking is that shouldn't we be more concerned about just going out and winning people to Christ? Is doctrine really important? Because isn't it going to just stir up a lot of disagreement among the brethren? Isn't it going to just create dissension? It's going to lead into arguments and things like that. So wouldn't it be better to just downplay the doctrine and unitedly we just go out and win people to Christ? So that is one of the arguments that is made today. In a response to that, what I would say is what the apostle here is pointing out, that unsound doctrine is going to lead to unsound living within the church. And so there is absolutely an essential foundation that is being set by Christ and by the apostles here, that first of all, there must be sound doctrine. And the reason for the sound doctrine is that it's going to translate over into sound living. And therefore, the church is going to be healthy when there is sound doctrine. But if not, if doctrine is not important, and if unsound doctrine is brought into the church, then it's going to be very hard to get rid of it. Just like when a virus is introduced into our population. I think there's some concern now about this new Zika virus or something like that. And I heard that one person died here in the hospital this week from this virus that I think came back from the Caribbean islands or somewhere like that. But now that it's introduced into our area, it's going to be difficult to get rid of it. And the tendency is that it will spread. And it's contagious and it's a threat to human life. Well, the same thing is true. The Lord has that same concern about the doctrine that is taught within the church, that it be sound, that it be healthy. Because if not, once false doctrine or unsound doctrine is introduced, then it's very difficult to get rid of it. And the effect is going to be leading to unsound living in the lives of people. In chapter 1, again, he says, "There are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain." Now, there was Jewish teachers, Judaizing teachers there in the first century who constantly kept bringing in the Old Testament, the teachings of the law of Moses, the traditions of the Pharisees, things of that nature. He says, "But avoid foolish disputes," in chapter 3 and verse 9, "and genealogies, contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition." In other words, Titus is given a big responsibility here. He is in a situation on the island where many of the people here are not well grounded. And it is urgent, it is essential that sound teaching be given. And there are those already coming among them that are teaching unsound things. So Paul is concerned for him to understand how important his work is. First, appoint elders who are qualified. They are men who have been taught sound doctrine. And when you look at Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, it emphasizes that holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. So one of the first qualifications to become an elder is that a person be someone who has been taught sound doctrine. And that if this comes up within the church, that someone is trying to introduce, or maybe even in ignorance of not understanding properly themselves, but an elder is well grounded, that he may discern that and correct it with sound doctrine, so that they may be sound in the faith. Now, if there are those who are contentious, as he points out, and are going about this in either a subversive way, or they are trying to go behind the elders or bring in unsound teachings, then that needs to be dealt with. As he says there, reject a divisive man after a first and second admonition. But Titus's work is clear here, that he is to speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Now, what he is really getting at here in chapter 2 and verse 1 is that not to say that he is to be teaching sound doctrine at this point, because that is something that he has already talked about in chapter 1, verse 10 and 9, that sound doctrine has been taught, but that he is to speak those things, he is to talk about those things which are proper for sound doctrine. In other words, as sound doctrine relates to daily living in the lives of the people. So that is what his concern is in chapter 2, to speak those things. And the word that is used here in chapter 2 when he says speak those things is the word to talk. It's a different word than the word to preach or even to teach, which would be didasko in the Greek language. But this is the word here, laleo. It just means to talk. And so Titus is to be going among the brethren, and he's to be talking things that are appropriate and fitting to sound doctrine. So he is supposed to be talking to the members of how they take sound doctrine and how they live it out in their life. There are different groups of people that he addresses, beginning with the older men here in verse 2. So he has some specific commands that are appropriate for the older men in being sound in the faith. That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love and patience. We would say the old guys, right? The owls. Is that the term that we would say here in Burien? The older, wiser, lovable saints, right? So, there is sound doctrine that applies to older men. They are to think about these things. They are to be reminded. Here's how an older Christian godly man conducts himself. We might even go into some more specific things here about how an older man in Christ should treat his wife. For one thing, he would be grateful to her, and he would thank her for bringing him his breakfast, for instance. He would say thank you. He would speak to her in a kind, loving way as a husband to his wife. Many other examples could be added to that of, you know, bringing that out, how that really plays out in daily life. Being sober, being reverent, being temperate, sound in faith, in love and patience. There is a way of life that is healthy to be an older Christian man. It's the evidence of the fact that this is someone who understands sound doctrine, and when you look at their life, they are living that out. And if we're all doing that, if we all understand our how it applies in our life, then the church is going to be healthy. Church is going to be made up of people that this is how they live. Because we've been taught sound doctrine and how it applies to our life. This is living the way Jesus would have lived and how He wants us to live and conduct ourselves. So he goes on to talk in the next verse about the older women and how they are relating to the younger women. And saying that the older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. There's sort of a principle here of mentoring the older women, mentoring the younger women, talking with them about how to be a good wife, how to be a good mother. Very practical instruction. And it comes from those who themselves have been taught sound doctrine. They have learned to apply it in their own lives and live it out. So when an older woman who is living a godly life that is healthy in the sight of God gets together with a young woman who is a young married woman and a mother, and she has some struggles and she is needing advice, the older woman is able to give her that advice. Good sound advice. And she can do it in a way that is uplifting and strengthening to her marriage and to her parenting and her godly conduct, the way she conducts herself. Sound doctrine is taken and applied from the older women to the younger women in that way. And then he addresses younger men, and he uses Titus, who was a younger man, and he said, likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Well, there are five actions there that he commands young men to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, and sound speech. Good advice for young men, how to live out the Christian life. Then he also goes a step further and talks about in the workplace to exhort bondservants to be obedient to their masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. So what he has done here is to break down and apply sound doctrine to every phase, every level of age groups within the church. He's showing here that holy living is proper for sound doctrine. That when you look at sound doctrine, what the purpose of this is to ground us and train us and help us to live a life that is pleasing to God, so that we would glorify God, so that we would be able to remain in a right relationship with God, knowing that the Lord is coming again, and how we are to live. So he says in chapter 2 and verse 11, he says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." Holy living, then, is proper. The Lord is concerned about his church being healthy. He wants us to live holy lives, as he is holy. We are told in chapter 1 and verse 16 that these individuals that he was mentioning who had come within the church, he said, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." And in verse 15, he ends this chapter on the same note, "Speak these things and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no one despise you." Now, that word that he uses there at the end of that verse, where he speaks of doing these things with authority, and that there might be some that would resist that teaching. After all, some of this teaching that Paul speaks about here is unconventional thinking as far as society is concerned. And we see that a lot, you know, in what he is saying, that the sound doctrine of living is sometimes that is going to be very unpopular. And so Titus could expect that there's going to be those, as he is talking with them, they're going to come back and say, well, Titus, what about this? You know, that do you really think that we can do that? Is that really going to be the right way to be? He's going to hear a lot of that. And so he is to let no one despise him or what he is teaching. The things that he is teaching is to be with authority. Whose authority? Well, it's the authority of God. It's the authority of Christ that is behind that. And whenever it is spoken about this way in the New Testament, Jesus, in John chapter 13, when he was speaking to his disciples, he said, now when you are teaching what I am teaching you, that if they receive you, they receive me. But if they do not receive you, they do not receive me. In other words, he is giving a certain amount of his authority to the apostles as teaching his word. And that being that it is His Word, that if there are those who do not receive it, then they are not just rejecting the apostles, they're rejecting Christ. The same thing can be said to Titus, that when he is teaching these things in accordance with sound doctrine, to how they are to live. And someone comes back and he said, but maybe a younger woman, she says, but how can I respect my husband when he is the way he is? You know, they were going to hear that kind of argument in response, just like we would hear it today. But it is the authority of Christ. Let no one despise you. Let no one reject this teaching. In other words, it is the teaching, the authority of Christ that is involved here. God wants holy living among His people. In Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now the reason that Paul is emphasizing this sound doctrine and sound living with Titus here is not really so that the Christians themselves will receive greater blessings. He's not addressing it in that sense, even though that is true. That when we apply sound doctrine and sound living in our lives, that we are going to be blessed, richly blessed in many ways. But that isn't the point. What Paul's point is that he is making is that when the church is living in sound living, then the effect is going to be positive upon other people. And if it isn't, then it's going to be negative. That it's going to have an effect upon the world around us and those that we are coming in contact with, that's going to detract from the Word of God. And that's what we need to be concerned about, that our lives need to be healthy and godly because of the impact that our life is going to have upon someone else. He says in chapter 2 and verse 5, he actually says this three times here in this second chapter, speaking to the younger women to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. See, that would be the reason that the Lord wants us to be living that way, so that the word of God is not blasphemed. And what it really is indicating from that is that whether we realize it or not, people around us are watching us with a critical eye in our faith. They are looking at Christians with a very critical eye sometimes. And that if you aren't living the life that God teaches you to be living, then they are going to latch onto that and use that against the name of Christianity in general, the Word of God in general. So if a young wife, for example, is talking back to her husband all the time, or she is being disrespectful of her husband, other people are going to notice that. And it's going to have an effect upon the power of the gospel in that community to bring others to Christ. It'd be like saying that, you know, if I was going to say to some of you, said, well, you know, I could recommend my barber to you. You know, I know a really good barber here in town. And here my hair looks like a mess all the time. People are going to think, forget it. I don't need your barber. I'll find one on my own. But if our life as a Christian, if we're not conducting ourselves the way the Bible teaches, people are going to notice that. And they're going to reflect against it, that the Word of God is going to be blasphemed. So he says in verse 8 that you need to have, young men need to have sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. So again, that is why it is so important. You see, he's not necessarily saying here that that's how the church is going to grow, that's how we're going to get more people into the church. The Lord isn't. That's not his main concern. His main concern is holiness of his people. That the life we are living is a reflection of sound doctrine. And so he says in chapter 2 and verse 10, speaking about when we are in the workplace, showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Now, this is when we are at work. When we are at work through the week, day to day, and we're around non-Christians. When we are an employee that reflects Jesus Christ, and we reflect the life of Jesus Christ, then we are adorning the doctrine of God. That word is the word cosmetics. To adorn it in a cosmetic way. It makes it beautiful. The doctrine of God. The doctrine of God is that God loves us. That God gave His Son to die for us. That through the gospel we can be saved. And how do we present that to the world? We present it by one way is that when we go to work, we have the love of God in us. And it is obvious to people around us that we, and good fidelity, and not stealing from our employer, and doing an honest day's work for an honest day's pay, and things like that that are very practical when applied to within the workplace, that you're living out your faith in a way of integrity, living the Christian life the way we are should be living the Christian life. It adorns the doctrine of God. It makes God beautiful. He's glorified when we conduct ourselves that way. So that is the reason that sound doctrine is important. That's why Paul is emphasizing it the way he is here in this letter. And that there are many other reasons why sound doctrine is so crucially important. It's the roadmap for us to go from here to heaven. It's the clear path of salvation to the non-Christian, that we understand and apply sound doctrine. And that we are concerned about that within the church. The Lord is concerned that His church be healthy, and He is concerned with the doctrine that is being taught in His church. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song this morning. And there may be some here today that need to respond to the doctrine of Jesus Christ and repent of your sins and be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. We're going to invite you to do that this morning, to come forward, that we might assist you as we stand together and sing the invitation song.
Hear the soul.